We are one, we are love, and we're all woven together.
Hi everyone, this is Mallory Meltrepos, your host on the Woven in Truth podcast. Just reminding you guys, this is a women's podcast platform to present the perspectives and passions of diverse Christian women in our effort to connect with and learn from each other. As always, the views expressed here are those of the speaker, don't represent any particular organization, but we hope you enjoy our thoughts and feelings and maybe even relate on some level, as this is intended to be a source of spiritual encouragement and just kind of girl time as you walk, run, cry in your pantry, whatever you got going on today. We hope that this episode meets you where you're at and encourages you. And wow, what a day to host a podcast. We have one of my sheroes with us today. Elizabeth Lang Thompson is in the house via Zoom to chat with all of us. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on. This is such an honor for me to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, this is so special. So just FYI, if our listeners aren't familiar, Elizabeth has many hats, but she's the author on her website, ElizabethLangThompson.com. She's also the author of many amazing books, including When God Says Wait, When God Says Go, and her most recent one, which we're going to talk more about today, All the Feels. Elizabeth, your writing is just like you. It's funny, it's relevant, it's relatable, but it also kind of punches me in the face spiritually. So thank you for that.
Sorry about that.
No, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I need when I'm reading something. So thank you for that. And I love that your bio says that you're living proof that geeky girls can live happily ever after. Can you tell us a little bit more of that statement? What is your beloved family and life like right now in this stage?
Oh, goodness. Well, I feel incredibly grateful to have a husband and family. You know, there were many, many days when I cried and prayed and wondered if I ever would have them. And so I just feel very grateful. Mm. I've been married to my husband, Kevin, for 21 years. We were college sweethearts after he stopped being dumb. Ignoring me. If I'm being totally honest, I was like head over heels for him immediately. And of course he's like, I just need to love the Lord. And
one of those.
So, you know, we had a few years of friendship with vibes and crying a lot, but eventually, here we are 21 years later. I'm very grateful for that. And yeah. And there was a season when we didn't think we would ever get to be parents. Where we just, you know, went through a lot of medical stuff and what's going on, what's this infertility business? Mm-hmm. I didn't expect this, but so we are very, very grateful and still surprised.
Yes.
All these years later, yes, that we get to have four kids there.
That's amazing.
Two are now teenagers, which is crazy to me.
Wow.
14 and 13. And then I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old. So very loud, lots of feelings in my house.
Oh, yes. But
I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm very grateful.
Oh, that's so great. So special. Well, I'm really excited about your most recent book and just this topic in general. Personally, and I think a lot of our listeners are going to really, you know, enjoy it as well. So kind of onto the meat of this, we're going to talk about your new book and your current passion. Why did you write All the Feels? Like, why is this message, you know, so important for your readers, for people who listen, maybe even for yourself? Like, why now?
Oh, goodness. Well, so the subtitle tells you a lot of what I was thinking when I started writing this book. It's Discover Why Emotions Are Mostly Awesome and How to Untangle Them When They're Not. And, you know, I am a very big feeler. This became evident quite early in life by me, like, watching sad movies and locking myself in rooms. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure why. And one time I cried so hard I got my dad out of a speeding ticket. I mean, like... Very early on, very big feelings. And it's just one of those things that I've had to struggle with and, you know, figure out my whole life. Like, mm-hmm. What do I do with all of this inside of me?
Right.
And where does it fit into my faith? And we'll probably talk about this more as we really dive in, but I felt like all these feelings of mine were weakness, and they were messy, and mm-hmm. they were taking me away from God and making me not the Christian I thought I should be, this like strong, resilient woman who couldn't be shaken. And I always have the answer and the thing right. to say, and I'm never a mess. And then here I am, you know, crying, happy crying, sad crying, funny crying, all, you know, just right. feeling all the time. So really this book comes out of learning, where do emotions fit into my faith? And does God, how does he feel about my feelings? Why did he give them to all of us? Mm-hmm. Whether you consider yourself a big feeler or whether you wish maybe you had more feelings or you wish you didn't have to feel at all.
Right, right.
He's given us all feelings. So where does that fit? And yeah. and what? How does the scripture help us with that? What tools does it offer us as we work through our feelings and try to really use them in ways that honor God? Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I love that you said it's not just for like one specific person or type of feeler, right? You in it, you kind of describe three different feelers, right? Because we can kind of be on this, what's it called? You know, there's a range of this, and mm-hmm. there is something for all of us to take. There's big feelers, right? Steady feelers and reluctant feelers. Can you briefly explain these and maybe give us a little more insight into those so that we can maybe even identify, oh, this might be where I'm at in that?
Yeah. So as I was writing, one of the things that I sort of, I don't know, sort of came to mind was, you know, there are different kinds of feelers. I mean, there's like me, there's the big feelers who, the way I describe it is you live life in emotional high definition. Like mm-hmm. you're not just happy. You are happy with a parade and fireworks. Like yes. so, so happy.
Yes.
And it's what we love about big feelers in our mm-hmm. lives, the incredible capacity for joy. But when they're sad, it's deep down in the dark pit of doom and no one can ever pull me out again.
Right.
I will never be okay. You know, it's,
right.
so it's just, you feel it big, you feel it strong and long. Mm-hmm. But with that comes an incredible, empathy, intuition. Mm-hmm. You feel strongly for other people. You read other people well. There are so many beautiful gifts
right.
that come along with being a big feeler. Mm-hmm. I think any big feeler could tell you the struggles, you know,
right.
it is a struggle when you get to those deep, dark places and okay, well, how do I pull out? Where is God in that? How can he help me? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes as a big feeler, you can get kind of, your feelings are so overwhelming that it can make you self-focused.
Yes.
And you don't have room for other people's feelings, even though you're so empathetic. It's this funny little paradox. Mm-hmm. Like you're so empathetic, but like yours are so big, you don't have room. Yep. So learning to make space for others' feelings, mm-hmm. Things like that. Those are some of the things that mm-hmm. big feelers, I think want to grow in. Then the steady feeler. Okay. So I'm married to a steady feeler mm-hmm. and love, love, love the steady feelers. These are people who they have those deep feelings. They completely relate to those moments of like, wow, I am feeling so much right now.
Right.
But they don't live there all the time. It's more occasional mm-hmm. and they have this incredible gift of being able to kind of box up those big feelings, not in a way of ignoring them, but just saying, this is not the time. I will unpack this box.
Right.
I will deal with what's inside here, but right now other people need me, or right mm-hmm. now this needs to happen. And so they're very forward moving. They tend to be great leaders who are really emotionally intelligent because they can plan and feel at the same time. This is a great gift.
Right.
I think what the steady feelers need is, what do they do when they do get waylaid by big feelings? Like every once in a while, my husband will be like, what is this? I'm usually so okay and I'm not okay. And he'll kind of go down and I'm like, secretly, I'm kind of rejoicing. I'm like, yes,
I know.
You're having a bad day.
Yes.
So, you know, I think the steady feelers have some similar needs to big feelers where mm-hmm. they've got to learn, what do I do when those mm-hmm. big feelers are calling? Where right. do I, how do I process with right. God in a righteous way? And then we have our reluctant feelers who I love. And if you are a reluctant feeler and you're still listening, I'm so proud of you. Like, because I know that this is something that you're probably twitching, all this talk about feelings, you know, but reluctant feelers have been told their whole lives, like, you need to get more in touch with your feelings. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that? Feelings don't make sense.
Right.
Sometimes they're a waste of time.
Yes.
They're not logical. They're not fair. Mm-hmm. They just distract us from the truth.
Yeah.
And this is why we need the reluctant feelers, because they are fair-minded. They're focused on facts and truth. They are such clear thinkers, and they're such a gift. While the rest of us are sitting here feeling and like maybe fighting over our feelings, the reluctant feeler is there like, hey guys, let's just do what the Bible says. Let's do what's right and fair.
Yes. So,
they play such a huge role. They have so much to offer us. But of course, a reluctant feeler, they do have big feelings. They just don't like it when they do.
Right.
So they have to learn to embrace those moments when they come, not put them off, because you may have had unfortunate experiences where it just explodes. You've packed it in the closet for so long,
right.
Then you open the door and it's like, right. The feelings coming flooding out.
Yeah.
So they've got to learn to process along the way. They've got to learn too, that you might not need space to process something emotionally, but the feelers in your life do. So
yeah.
Making room for that and validating your feeling friends
right.
and family's feelings, even
right.
though you might not relate as much directly, just saying, wow, I get that you feel that, and that must be so hard. And I'll sit here and listen. Let's talk through that together.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah,
and I'm curious. I love that. I'm curious, in the book, do you talk about at all, like, how in relationships, like, 'cause it's funny, as you're talking, I'm already like, okay, 100% big feeler. There's like a little quiz in your book I took, and I scored off the charts for big feeler. But I feel like I didn't have them take the quiz, but I'm pretty sure my best friend and my husband are both reluctant feelers, which is interesting that God has placed these people in my life in such a significant way. Because it can be such a source of, like, what's the word? Just feeling misunderstood, I think, on both ends, you
yes.
know? Do you talk about that in the book at all? Or what are your thoughts on that? Maybe even, like, scripturally, like, how we work together, how we feel our feelings, but, you know, help each other get closer to God. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I do try to address that throughout the book, just in different points. Like, hey, this is a time. Reluctant feelers, this might be a thing that doesn't make sense to you, but
yeah.
your bigger feeling friends or family are probably going to need to talk about this
yeah.
when this happens.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite chapters to write, and yet also most, like, difficult and mortifying, was the Happy House, where I talk about this time early in my marriage where I don't even know what I was upset about. I was upset about something, and poor Kevin was still, you know, grappling with the depth and breadth of this feelings of this woman he had married.
Yeah.
You know, and we pulled up outside our house, and he's like, okay, do you see that house? That is the Happy House. And only happy people get to go in there. And, you know, it was kind of a joke. He wasn't like dismissing my feelings, but he helped me so much
right.
to realize, you know, I can put boundaries on my emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I can refuse to allow, like, toxic feelings
yes.
into my house. I can choose the mood
right.
of my house. And now that's hard. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but he's helped me with that. And I've helped him to stop and feel more often.
Yeah.
And my reluctant feeling friends, you know, I think that's where their feeler friends help deepen them, slow them down.
Right.
Process, experience.
Right.
But then they also help us move forward. So it really is beautiful. It's the body of Christ, each part doing its work, each of us using our different gifts.
Definitely.
That God has given us.
Definitely. I love that. I remember when I first got married, I got married young, and I was really upset. Don't remember what about, but my poor husband's eyes were just glazed over, because it was like so much so quickly. Like, he was getting to know this huge side of me, my emotional side, like, you know, in a torrential downpour. And because like before we got married, we were just like meeting at Denny's once a week, you know, like that was like our only time alone to like talk about anything deep. And then we get married and it's just like, you know, and oh yeah. And like I was going through hard things. My dad just was in the hospital with like emergency. So it just was like a lot of stuff to process. And he was kind of reaping the benefits of all that, benefits in quotes. So anyways, my friend, my awesome friend Young picked me up and we're in the car and I'm just sobbing in her passenger seat. And I'm like, I just feel like I'm too much for him. You know, like I'm too much for him. And she, you know, put her hand on my leg and she goes, oh, honey, you are. She goes, she's like, he's this, you know, this is where he's at. This is where you are. You have to give him time. You have to give him space and you have to go to God. Like that's what she kept. She wasn't saying I was wrong or I'm too much for God. She just was like, at this point, like, there's got to be. So I don't even know what your thoughts on are on that, but I do think there's a way. What's so cool and what I love so much about God is that he's so inclusive of me and my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I never feel like I'm too much for him. So how has that been for you in your life and journey with taking all those things to God? Yeah, like what are your thoughts on that? How have you navigated that as a big feeler?
Absolutely. You know, when you start looking for emotion in the Bible, it is all over every page. Mm. And you realize it is a drama-filled book. And oh, you're going to find every emotion from, you know, incredible joy. And I mean, there's this scene in the book of Ezra where like the shout of joy from God's people when the foundation of the temple was laid was heard miles away. I mean, incredible joy. And then you've got grief and just despair and rage and resentment, bitterness, petulance. I mean, you have got every shade and nuance of emotion in the scripture and even in the Psalms, which of course are an invitation to us to pray. And so it tells me so much that God is like, look, I can take it. You are never too much for me.
Right.
I get that you have this and that you need to process it and you need to talk about it. And I'm the one to do it with.
Right.
I think that is such a liberating thing. Like when you finally accept that and you realize I'm not bothering God. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, if it matters to me, it matters to him.
Right.
So if I come to him and I'm like, God, my friend hurt my feelings and I think I'm being gaslighted on Instagram or whatever, and you feel dumb for bringing this big feeling about a small human problem to the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. He's like, honey, I want to hear it.
Right.
You are my daughter and I love you. Mm-hmm. And this is important to you. And I care. It does. Oh goodness. It sets you free to feel what you feel and work through it with him, to not feel judged or, you know, annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I do think the more we learn to do that with God, the more pressure it takes off our human relationships. I absolutely had to learn that during our infertility days when I was so crushingly sad all the time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'm going to ruin my marriage. Like, because I can't be okay. Mm-hmm. And I might never be okay, but learning to take some of that pain to God and not dump all of it on Kevin.
Right.
Really helped my marriage and saved it, I think, from utter ruin in the midst of heartache.
Yes, definitely. And even like, I'm so grateful for the other friendships and relationships or even mentoring relationships I've had in my life where I've been able to kind of spread that around a little bit without it all getting, you know, I feel like God has navigated me to safe places. You know what I mean? Where different types of people, different types of feelers can take and respond to different things in different ways. So I think before I thought it was one person, one human that was supposed to be able to absorb and respond to and help me navigate everything. It's like, oh no, God, it's actually God. And through him, he leads me to these different important relationships.
Yes.
that are usually very different than me, which is actually really cool. And some very similar, and then we can relate and, you know what I mean, help each other, which is so cool. And you do, you know, kind of connected to what we're talking about. You write that many Christians think we should put our feelings in airplane mode, you know, when it comes to our faith. This is kind of what you were just talking about. What does that mean? Like, what do you, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I think I couldn't even count the number of times that I have told myself, you know, I shouldn't feel fill in the blank, sad. I shouldn't feel worried. I shouldn't feel lonely. I shouldn't feel anxious, you know, and I've heard so many women, Christian women, do that. I shouldn't feel, and yet you do feel it,
right?
You know, and so we feel like we shouldn't. And maybe the feeling isn't the most righteous feeling you've ever had.
Right. You know? True.
Maybe. True. In theory, you shouldn't, but you do. Like, yeah. Me telling myself or one of my kids, you know, you shouldn't feel that way, has never once made the feeling go away. You
right.
know? But what we try to do is we're like, well, let me put it in airplane mode, pretend it's not there.
Yeah.
And then but then the problem is it's still there. When yeah. you turn it back on, all those messages come through. Oh, we're still sad. We're still anxious.
Yeah.
So it's learning that no, but I do feel this way. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't want to, but I do.
Right.
So let me work that out with the help of scriptures mm-hmm. and scriptural Bible-based strategies
yeah.
and in prayer. Let me work through it instead of around it,
yes.
pretending like it's not there.
Yes.
You know, because I think if you're feeling distant from God or you're feeling like your real life is separate from your faith life,
yeah.
those are good signs that there's a disconnect.
Yes.
And God's saying, I don't want that disconnect. I want to be the place for your mm-hmm. feelings.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding. I think that's a big thing. And I've been delving into that a lot. Like authenticity, I think, is so important, because so many times in the scriptures, God talks about basically like coming as you are, broken and in need of grace, right? Like, that's where we're at. And we can't do that if we're not, you know, if we're labeling some emotions, some feelings, some experiences as acceptable and some as not, and then try and do kind of, I don't know, weed out the ones or not present the ones that we feel are unacceptable. Because then it's like very hard to feel genuine in that connection with him. Even in that, like, life, when you're talking about that, like, kind of having a Christian life or a Christian part of our life as opposed to an all-encompassing connection with God, I think is really big. So what do you think, what does God want us to do with those feelings, even the ones that might feel, quote-unquote, unacceptable?
You know, I think the whole book of Psalms is, it's an invitation to mm-hmm. talk about it with him, to mm-hmm. bring it to him. You know, maybe I shouldn't feel this, but I do. And I'm bringing it to you, God, and I'm asking for your help. Yeah. And what I love about scripture is there's so much in there on our thoughts and the connection between our thoughts and our emotions. And it really helps me if I can focus my energies and efforts on, okay, well, I'm feeling anxious. So what have I been thinking about, and how can I take those thoughts to God?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I need to inject more faith into my way of thinking,
right.
Or maybe I need to reframe some of what I've been telling myself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to take my, what if, you know, what if I lose my job, and I need to look at that in light of scripture and say, okay, well, you know what? What does the Bible tell me? The Bible tells me God is faithful and I will be okay, even if I lose my job.
Yep.
So taking those thoughts, the thoughts that produce the feelings to God,
mm-hmm.
working through them in light of scripture and truth and what we know about the character of God.
Right.
And working through them. And mm-hmm. then I think that's where you can start to make progress.
Yeah.
If you just sit there and like, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, you're not going to get very far. But if mm-hmm. you can work on your thoughts in the presence of God
mm-hmm.
openly, then you're going to start feeling some progress.
Ooh, I love that. Work on your thoughts in the presence of God, like inviting him into that and moving forward with him, as opposed to feeling like it's something we have to fix or manipulate or cover up in order to like separate it or then be presentable to him or whatever. that kind of reminds me, we were chatting about this the other day, and I'd love for you to expand on some of the kind of the negative connotations and even weakness labeling that gets put on our feelings and actually on big feelers in general. I think there can be some weakness labeling, you know, or that's what it's seen as or perceived as, or maybe even just by ourselves, like feeling, oh, I'm fragile, I'm weak because I feel these things so much and so strongly and even so often, like, oh, didn't I get over this? You know, like, God, why am I back at this place again? Do you think you could talk a little bit more about that, either where you think it comes from or maybe different ways we could start thinking about it?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I mean, I still remember so clearly the morning that the Bible really changed the way I started looking at my emotions and at myself as a big feeler. I was like camping out in Psalm 139 for the millionth billionth time. You know, you have searched me and you know me, you know, my thoughts from afar, you hem me in, you created my inmost being. And I was really just meditating on that and sort of coming to terms with the fact that I think I had always felt like all this feeling in here is a weakness. It's a distraction. It keeps me from just being focused and forward moving and all of those things that I thought I was supposed to be. And I was like, no. Psalm 139 is telling us whatever kind of feeler you are, but I do think big feelers probably need to hear this in a special way. God made you that way.
Yeah.
God himself is a feeler. I mean, we see God grieving in Genesis 6. We see God angry in different places in the Old Testament. We see him being jealous for his people. He loves them so much. We see him rejoicing. We see him, I mean, we just see God himself feeling all these feelings. But just God gave them to you, and they're a way you can connect with him. They're a way that you reflect his heart. Are there different things we need to learn how to work through? Of course.
Yeah.
But in your nature, being a big feeler, being just silly with joy and crazy with love and, you know, and deeply grieved, none of that is inherently wrong or unrighteous. You're like God in that, and he's there for you to help you work through it. If you need any more confirmation, I think look at the big feelers in the Bible. Goodness, yeah. David, hello.
Yeah.
You know, he felt all of it. And it wasn't always beautiful and righteous.
Yeah.
But he was called a man after God's own heart. That tells you something, that it can be messy and imperfect, but it doesn't mean you don't have the heart of God. And it doesn't mean he's not with you and he doesn't adore who you are and how you deal with life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's really helpful and really cool. I think for so long, I wanted to be low maintenance. So like, I would kind of like try to be that like so hard, but then inside I always felt so disappointed and like so disillusioned, but I'm like, oh, I'm chill. And then I'm like crying in my car on the way, you know, like I don't need any, it's fine. I'm cool. Whatever. I'm so low maintenance. It's fine. And then now I'm more embracing that. I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of thoughts, but I do definitely want to make sure I'm navigating that in a spiritually healthy way and productive way. Like I do think there's not that everything needs to be productive. I think that's, you know, part of the problem is that we think if, you know, feelings aren't productive, so don't invest there. Don't spend time unpacking things when it's like, I think sometimes God pulls us into those places, you know, because he wants to draw us closer to him. And even his nature, like you said, like this is part of, you know, the intricacies of how he makes us and brings us closer to him and to where we can get to these places to help others as well. Which, speaking of that, many people, you know, especially big feelers, but I think in general right now, there's so much suffering and things going on in the world. Just Christians in general can struggle with borrowing other people's burdens. Like when you feel big, you feel others' things big. It's like why if I even go on Facebook or watch different videos or different things like that, I'm so heavy-hearted to just see and feel and absorb trauma, suffering of other people, especially if there's people in your life that you love and that as Christians, a lot of us are more very connected. Like there's a lot of people we know and just a lot of people are going through a lot right now. What are some practical ways to develop emotional boundaries when it comes to that, like borrowing other people's burdens?
Yeah, this is, it's such a hard thing. And goodness, whatever kind of feeler you are, I think we have all struggled with that the last few months, because there has been so much heartache.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all taken pretty intense emotional hits, you know, from seeing people hurting physically, knowing many people are lonely, being lonely ourselves, feeling isolated, cut off, feeling disappointed in God, you know, deep down inside, like, why haven't you fixed this? And then just all the injustice and the hurt and the unfairness and the, you know, just all that pain on top of that, that we as Americans have been processing, and then people around the world have been processing with us. I mean, so whatever kind of feeler you are, it's just been a heavy time. And I think for many of us, it's hard to know, like, where does someone else's hurt end, or end and mine begin, or vice versa? Where does theirs begin and mine end? Like, what, where are the boundaries?
Right.
And I think the more compassionate and intuitive you are by nature, the more you're going to let that stuff in. Maybe you've been told that you have too thin of skin, you know? But one of the things that I've really grappled with in scripture and in prayer is, well, okay, so how do I, as a Christian, embody the compassion and empathy that I do think God calls us to?
Right.
He does call us to carry one another's burdens. How do I do that without becoming, you know, hiding in the corner, like in a puddle of just helpless, being helpless, overwhelmed feeling, you
know? Right.
Because obviously Jesus, we see him standing outside Lazarus's tomb with Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, after Lazarus has died, and he's weeping with them. So he's a sympathy crier. There you go. But he doesn't stay in that place. You know, of course he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's, you know, you and I don't get to do that, but we see him showing incredible compassion for people, but also moving forward with his life. So I think we can take a lot from his example of really caring, but then also hurting with people, but not for them. Jesus was actually the only one who could take someone else's pain on the cross. You know, he accomplished that for us. You and I are not going to be able to do that.
Right.
But he kept moving. He kept giving. I think he had an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
We tend to get crushed by earthly suffering, whereas Jesus understood, you know, this is terrible, and I'm not glossing that over, but I also know there's a life to come, and all of my hope is not here. So that's one thing. You know, and then prayer, I've really wrestled with, how do I take other people's pain to God in prayer and leave it with him? Like, sometimes there are ways we can help share people's burdens. Like, let me take the edge off. Let me help you carry that load for a time.
Yeah.
Let me serve you in some way. Let me listen. Let me make you a meal. Let me, you know, there are things we can do, but then it always gets to that point where it's like, there's nothing more I as a lowly human can do, but I can pray.
Yeah.
And I can take this to the one who can do something about it. So, yeah, I wish I could, like, unpack that more. I have so much more to say on that. It's such a complex subject, and it's hard to address adequately. I always feel like, oh, this is hard.
No, but I thought that was really helpful and really good, and even kind of using Jesus as a template for that, and at least to get some direction in that, because I think that is something that's been really hard to navigate. Like you said, where does, like, my job start and stop? But I do think we cannot underestimate the value of taking things before God in terms of ourselves and what we feel and navigate, but also in bringing forward, you know, our friends and loved ones and the world before God, and really trusting him, you know, trusting his sovereignty, trusting his goodness, and remembering that that's where healing comes from. As people that generally really want to fix things or fix problems or fix people, this year has just, I think, helped a lot of us realize how inadequate we are to do that, which is hard, but it's cool because it does bring us before the one who is not inadequate, who's fully capable and fully sovereign. to handle our problems, but also, you know, the weight of the world, which is really cool. So in terms of all of this feeling stuff, if somebody's kind of wanting to dive in a little bit more, regardless of where they're at on that scale, where would you have them start? Like, what's a good way to kind of dig into this journey a little bit more?
I think it starts by self-awareness is a really great place to start. So kind of figuring out, okay, well, what kind of feeler am I? And what do I need? You know, which feelings are hard for me? Mm-hmm. Which ones am I comfortable bringing to God? Which ones do I tend to keep buried in my heart in like the cobwebby corners and I'm afraid to bring them out? Like, so self-awareness is a really great place to start. And then just getting more comfortable, like saying, you know, bringing those things to God and into your faith conversations with your spiritual friends and family. Like, okay, I am struggling emotionally. Like, what do I do? You know, even just like bringing it more in instead of feeling like we always have to like have the answers and do the right thing. But like, okay, well, let me bring this more into my conversations, into my prayer life. Let me process. And then I have to tell you, I think it has a lot to do with working on our thought life. Mm-hmm. It has a lot to do with taking captive every thought, making it obedient to Christ. And that is actually so encouraging to me because feelings, it's hard to get a hold of them. They're slippery. They morph on you. You're like, I'm sad. No, wait, just kidding. I'm insecure. No, actually, it's not insecurity. I'm resentful. Like, but it's hard to work on your feelings, but you can work on like, okay, well, what am I thinking about? Where am I setting my mind? What does scripture teach about how to think about this? Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And then your feelings tend to follow your thoughts.
Yes, it's true. It's so true. And I love that idea of kind of like spiritual metacognition and applying it to all of this. Because that is something, like you said, everything can morph and change, or that's not what I have my quiet time on. Why am I feeling that now? You know, like, I'm feeling ill-equipped to handle resentment. Oh my gosh. But I think what you're saying does make sense, and it applies to all of it. So it's not like you have to like figure it all out and then handle that. It's like, okay, more thinking about, you know, where some of these things are originating and what God wants to do and the authority he wants to have over that. That's really cool and really helpful. So thank you so much. This is really good stuff. A little appetizer. I can't wait to dig in more. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us and sharing. Listeners, I'm sure you guys want to get her book. We'll post the link in our show notes, but you can also go to her website or find it on Amazon, I'm sure, or anywhere. But yes, Elizabeth, you're amazing. We really appreciate you and just spending some time with us and unpacking some of this. So thank you again. Appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you so much. I had so much fun talking about this with you. Oh,
really fun and really helpful. So listeners, thank you so much for spending time with us. We hope this really met you where you were at and was helpful to you in your day and spiritual life. As always, we adore you and appreciate your time. We'll catch you next time on the podcast.